Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we're running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 24 of season 4. This one is called The Mind's Eye. It was directed by David Livingston, teleplay goes to Rene Echevarria, and the story goes to Rene Echevarria and Ken Schaefer. It aired back on May 27th, 1991. In this one, Geordi LaForge sets out for a vacation on Ryza, but his shuttle is apprehended by Romulans who hope to use him in a plot to drive a wedge between the Federation and its Klingon allies. Modi Operandis is here to talk about this one, and right after this break, me and Modi are going to go deep on the Mind's Eye.
Romulans. They fashioned the perfect Federation rifle, but they had to charge it from their own energy sources. So the discharge crystal and the emission beam pattern both correspond to those you'd find in a Romulan disruptor.
The Romulans have no interest in Kryosian independence. This planet is too far from their borders.
But they do have an interest in driving the Federation of the Empire apart. Our alliance is the only thing that has kept them in check.
Romulan replications using stolen Federation technology?
It's a typical Romulan ploy. An attempt to sow dissension and mistrust. Commander, you've done very well. I would thank you on behalf of the Empire.
I still have my doubts, Picard. I will want my own technicians to confirm your findings.
Of course. My staff will give you their full cooperation.
You may go.
So, Modi, generally, Code of Honor from the first season is seen as the, like, the racist episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. I would argue it's this one. just because, are we supposed to believe that just because a Geordi LaForge lookalike is black, that he will be passed off as the original Geordi LaForge?
Well, I took it as that the people on Risa don't know what he looks like. So they're like, oh, it's a black guy wearing a visor. Okay, got it. And they don't not going to pay much attention to who it actually is.
I understood
but
that
maybe,
as well.
Maybe.
I would think in the future they'd have some sort of, like, you know, like a picture would pop up and he'd be like, this is what Geordi LaForge looks like and this guy.
There's no driver's licenses or anything like that. You have to identify with when you go to get to the hotel or anything like that in this one.
I had a real, I didn't understand why they didn't just shoot it so that LeVar Burton played the lookalike walking out and they just cut it together, you know?
Well, okay, so if they did that though, then why don't they just do that as the plan?
And send that Geordi back.
Exactly. Yeah.
I guess that's true. But that's
they can't make somebody look like somebody else. They can implant, you know, biometric images into their brain so they think that they're like someplace else completely, but they can't make somebody look exactly like somebody else. That's crazy.
Wow, that's a real plot buster right there, I think. Is why wouldn't you just send him back if he looked exactly like him? But wow, that's
what would be better if they just replaced it with that black guy that they sent to Risa and sent back to the Enterprise.
And no one noticed.
That would be the most racist episode, yeah.
No one noticed on the Enterprise for the entire time. They're like, Geordi, what's wrong
with
you?
What do you mean? I'm Geordi.
That guy, I couldn't tell if it was a problem of the high def resolution, which is also because I couldn't tell if, you know, if you were watching this in 90s TV resolution, if you wouldn't be able to tell that this guy clearly looks nothing like LeVar Burton.
Yeah.
And the other thing they do is that the Romulan in the shadows here, right, is voiced by Denise Crosby, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So they're
That's right.
They're foreshadowing a character that they're going to introduce in a couple episodes. But you can see her in the shadow, and it's clearly not what they're planning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know why they lit the character so well. Just put her in total darkness, or just shoot from behind. You know?
Yeah.
It was a weird decision.
Was that dubbed over?
It
was
dubbed.
It actually her there?
It was dubbed. Okay. It's not Denise Crosby because her her hair isn't even the right color. But I just thought it's a couple weird character decisions they made where it was just like they clearly know what they're trying to do in the story. It's just weird that they're not going through the production side of it to sort of hide it. The Geordi
the black guy being Geordi thing, I can kind of get by. I just think it's a weird decision that that's what they did.
Definitely.
Although I think you're right that that would be the explanation. Why don't they just send this guy to go kill him or mm-hmm. do whatever? But anyway, let's get into The Mind's Eye, which I was pleasantly surprised by this episode.
I forgot about this one. Yeah, when I started watching, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. This Manchurian Candidate episode. Yeah, this yep. is a good one.
It's The Manchurian Candidate. That's pretty much exactly what it is. It's I watched this one twice. I think this is an episode that, as long as you don't spend a lot of time thinking about it, it's really good. And once you start breaking it apart, it kind of falls apart. But while you're in the moment of watching it, I think it's a pretty solid thriller episode.
See, that might be the difference in our scores then at the end here, because I've only seen it once recently, and you've seen it twice recently, so you yes. have like a little bit more detail on it that you're going to think it's not as good. I'm going to be like, oh yeah, it's awesome, because that's what I saw once. And if I did see it again, I probably would have some holes for it, but
I still enjoyed it the second time. I'm not going to give this one a bad review or anything. I just think that we'll get into it after a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. But so basically, the basic plot line here is Geordi's captured by Romulans. We learn an important thing about Geordi, which is that Geordi is the kind of guy who gets on like a trans-Pacific flight and doesn't bring like a book or anything that he can read.
So weird.
By himself. He's just like annoying people. He's drinking like a pina colada, and he asks for what made me laugh. He wants, I wrote it down. What do you say? He says, how about something with a Latin beat?
How about some Spanish guitar?
Some Spanish guitar. Anyway, he gets kidnapped by the Romulans. They brainwash him. He comes back, and he is bent on assassinating someone that we don't really know who he's supposed to assassinate until the end of the episode. And the other minor plot going on is that there is a dispute on one of the Klingon colonies that's in the rebellion, and the Klingons think that the Federation are aiding the rebels by giving them weapons. And that's the basic breakdown. So what'd you think about this Manchurian Candidate, The Mind's Eye?
I liked it. I guess is the Klingon stuff the B plot considered, you think? It's called kind of dovetails together, which is nice kind of thing going on.
It does, yeah.
Where it all fits. So I liked that. I liked the intrigue there of, the sabotage thing kind of made sense to me.
Yep.
As a thing that Romulans would do. So it all rung pretty true, and I did enjoy the idea of the, I don't know why someone that high up in the Klingon society gets turned to the Romulans.
They've never been clear about that, and it's funny because we've had a bunch of episodes now where some high-ranking Klingons are like Romulan sympathizers.
Very strange.
And I get, the only thing I can think of, I don't know if this is ever said, is that I would imagine in some parts of Klingon culture, Klingons would have more in common with Romulans than humans. You know, because Romulans are kind of warlike, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, they're certainly more aggressive than humans are. So I could see, they have hinted at the fact that some Klingons in society are kind of chafing under the fact that they're now allied with humans and they don't really
have anything to go with. I'm thinking there's probably some, like, especially it seems to be the older generation, too, has, like, it's the old Civil War kind of veterans that are, like, don't trust the Union kind of thing. And they want to, like, they see the Romulans as the way out because it destabilizes the Federation, and they get their ends of being, you know, secessionist, basically, from the Federation. So they get back to the old ways kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what the point is. I don't know if that's ever implied, but I think this is a sort of like quietly strong Klingon and Romulan episode. Like you gain a lot of information about both, like the interaction between the Federation, the Klingons, and the Romulans in this one
that they
haven't really touched on before. I thought it was interesting. I thought that the two Klingons in this one were like fantastic. Like the actors playing them were both really good.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And the ambassador guy is like a great actor. I tried to look him up. I don't recognize him from anything else, but I thought he was excellent as the ambassador. And the other guy was more stereotypically Klingon, but he wasn't obnoxiously stereotypically Klingon. if that makes sense. He's a little bit more reserved, which I appreciated. They're no longer just yelling all the time.
Yeah. No, he's angry, but he's not, like, belligerent.
Right. And yeah. He has that great scene with Picard where he curses at Picard and Picard curses so back at him.
It's like, you swear well, Picard.
Like, it was pretty good. It was nicely played. You could tell he actually respected Picard yelling back at him. I always like mystery stories, too, where you know what the solution is from the beginning, and you have to watch the characters try to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I did like the arrival from Data. It felt very, like, what do I want to say this? It felt rewarding, almost. It felt you know, it earned, basically, when Data arrived at the conclusion on his own kind of thing.
Yes,
just researching and doing detective work and, like, asking the right questions, finally. It felt earned when he got to the right solution at the end.
So that was
kind of nice.
I do love watching Data solve mysteries for some reason. Like, he's the character I most enjoy. I think it's just because of, like, they write him sort of briskly. And him working with the computer is always, like, satisfying to watch in a weird way. So what did you think about the... Let's see here. So what did you think about the brainwashing sequence in general?
That was pretty cool, I think, actually. I mean, it wasn't cool in the fact that, like, I could have done more with Clockwork Orange style, where they're actually showing us some of the things he's seeing.
Yes.
Because it's all, like, left to your imagination because it's, you know, appropriate for television kind of thing. But just give us a hint of what exactly they're showing him. But they leave it up to our imagination, which I guess works for the budget of the show. It works for the ratings and censors and that kind of thing, I suppose.
Yes, yeah.
But I could have done with just some kind of idea of what was going on there, I suppose.
Yeah, it's fairly dark.
It does. It's real dark, yeah, for sure.
It gets real dark, and it's also the ending scene where he's with Troy. I don't feel it...
Oh, that's dark, too.
It's dark. I don't feel it really works, although... I think it doesn't really work only because his it's difficult for. I don't really know why he's so upset about it. You know what I mean? Because he doesn't remember being tortured.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He seems to just be upset about the fact that he doesn't remember anything.
Well, I'll grant him that maybe those memories are coming back, and like he doesn't like he feels like his. The fact that you don't remember something that you're supposed to remember is a little disturbing to me.
Yes, yes.
So that part would bother me. And the fact that as him and Troy work through this, those memories of what they did to him are going to come back. And that'll be some heavy shit to work through.
I agree with that. Sorry, go ahead.
But then next episode, he's fine. It's the thing. That, I guarantee he's fine next episode. So it's like,
problem.
Okay.
That's the problem. Yeah. It feels like they're like, I was almost questioning, is it even worth it to make him relive it? Like, making him relive it might be worse than just being like, Geordi, it's better you just don't remember any of this. You know what I mean? Like, they apparently made you look at some horrible stuff, so horrible that you become brainwashed, which I don't really understand the logic behind that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they do have to work through it because, in a way, if they were giving implanted messages, I mean, I guess they can somehow stop the E-wave transmissions from coming in or whatever they're called.
Yep.
But, like, he might still be a threat unless they work through the brainwashing issues, maybe.
Oh, I see.
They might have to recertify him for duty kind of thing.
Yes, that makes sense.
You can't just put him back out there as is, I feel like.
That's true. I'd say...
Somebody runs the microwave and then tries to kill you.
Right, exactly. Yeah, anytime an E-band or whatever, anytime they walk past, like, a collapsing pulsar or whatever Riker said created to E-bands, he'll start trying to shoot people.
Geordi turns around and shoots the entire crew. Yeah.
I like the brainwashing thing. It was just dark enough. It's probably as dark as the show ever gets. I think Burton did a good job. This is
definitely like the pinnacle of his acting, I think, in the series for sure.
Yeah.
He's really, really good in this episode.
He's very good. I think the idea of it's kind of similar to the idea, you know, Clockwork Orange, where they like hold their eyes open and make them watch. Mm-hmm. He's different because he can't shut his eyes, you know, if you can plug into his visor thing, you can make him see whatever you want to see, which is like a sort of upsetting thing. It upset me anyway, thinking about it, just like someone forcing you to like in your brain, you have to watch it. It's not even through your eyeballs.
Yeah, it's a little disturbing. I was kind of disappointed with Geordi Vision.
Oh, really? I liked it much more than the first.
I don't know if I like it at all.
Did you ever see the original Geordi Vision in like the first season?
I don't remember that one.
Okay, this one's better than that. And I also don't know if
he's got an upgrade.
Well, did the Romulans do something, because he had like Romulan writing?
That's true. Like he didn't notice those little letterings there.
Yeah,
and that wasn't supposed to be there. So maybe it was something that looked different. Maybe that's why it looked different compared to season one. Then
yes,
but
I would assume that, and I'm surprised they didn't. They never do the thing of like the Romulans are on their ship, like watching him walk around. You know what I mean? They do that. They do that in a movie eventually, which is kind of silly, but they didn't do it here, which I guess is for the best. I appreciate that the Romulans come in and then they just leave and you don't see them again.
But my question is, like, how can he work like that? Like, if that's what he actually is seeing, like, how is he able to survive? That's not enough resolution to, like, survive in the world.
Yeah,
it's worse than being colorblind. Like, you're seeing things in, like, you know, 480p and...
buffering every 3 seconds.
Yeah, it's buffering. Yeah, exactly. You're worried about buffering. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know if he can, like, do his actual, like, job. He's looking at a computer console. He can't actually see anything on it. He's just mashing buttons wildly, I feel like.
No, he operates by feel, I guess. And the original Geordi Vision was funny because it was, like, all red. It was, like, Predator Vision, sort of. And Picard is watching him look at stuff on the screen. And Picard is, like, blown away by it. It's a very season one thing where it's, like, unimpressive technology seems impressive to people. And Picard's like, what's that? What's that blur over there? And Geordi looks over, and it's clearly Commander Riker.
I remember that now. Yeah.
And he's just like, it's Commander Riker. Picard's like, fascinating. And it's just, at least in this one, you can look at a person and be like, oh, that's who that is.
That's
like,
O'Brien, yeah.
You clearly tell it's O'Brien. O'Brien looked fucking horrifying.
He's really scary, yeah.
I don't know if it was his curly hair or something, but like he just looks like he was demonic in that shot. He's also the savior of this episode because he comes over with that weird request that stops Geordi from shooting the Klingon.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he delayed him by half a second to save the day. Inadvertent hero, yeah.
It's a great cool meaning because he also gets to play dead O'Brien against the wall in that.
Oh yeah, that was good too.
The Manchurian Candidate scene where Geordi walks over, just shoots him on a holodeck simulation, then sits down with the other two and continue to drink together, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, let's see. I like the Klingon stuff. We sort of talked about that. I like the, you know, I like Picard acting with the Klingons. I think the show's gotten it to a point where it's like it makes a lot of sense and it reads well on screen. Like he knows now how to change his personality to deal with them. My major, it's not even a problem. This is what I noticed the second time through. The first time through, I was like, wow, this is an exquisitely paced episode. Like it's like it builds nicely. The crescendo is great, where Data's figuring out as Geordi is in the shuttle bay or wherever the hell they are, and you know it's like a race against time. Data's going to figure it out. Is he going to figure it out in time? Is Geordi going to draw his weapon?
There's that great shot of Geordi walking down the hallway, and it's like the Shining kind of thing. Like
yes,
it's like that
the
weird like
the camera's
the
pulling
steady cam. Yeah, it's yep. So good. That's such a good shot too.
That's very good. There's the I was reading the director. This is David Livingston, who actually would direct the most episodes of Star Trek ever. This is his first episode though.
Wow.
And he said that he was very happy to get this one as his first one because it doesn't have any scenes of people sitting for 10 minutes in a conference room, which is true. Like there's a lot of, there's a lot of people walking around in this one. And he said that he really appreciated, it was one of the few scripts that had lines like Geordi walks down the hallway and he could actually shoot it quite well. And that's what you were talking about in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a great one where LaForge is overtaken. It's very creepy. And he's standing behind another guy in the turbo lift as the camera cranes down to him. It's a very creepy shot because he's standing there totally. You can tell he's like brainwashed. And he's just standing quietly in the thing and the camera comes down on him. It's nice. But my major notice or something that I thought was kind of funny is that it takes Although I like the ratcheting of tension at the end, Data is taking a very long time to put things together by the end of the episode, because I feel he had enough evidence when he goes, so what could receive these E-bands, computer? And the computer goes, well, the only thing on board that could receive these is a visor. And it's like,
yeah, here's your answer.
It's like, go arrest Geordi. But at that point, Data goes into the shuttlecraft and he does all the stuff in the shuttlecraft. And it's cool. I really think it's worth it just for the scene where Data is walking and he's talking to Worf and telling him to arrest LaForge. That's an order. I like that scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good too. He seems kind of annoyed when he's on the ladder climbing down. And then
he does.
Data's
like,
that's an order. And he's like, okay, fine. I'll do it.
Gotta go
grudgingly.
Worf does not do a great job arresting him. He seems more interested in fighting with the Klingons that are standing around for some there. I don't know why he needed to get into that.
I was waiting for a classic Worf goes in to do something heroic and gets punched and falls down immediately. And I was waiting for Geordi to be the one that does it. It's like, well, he's got super strength now too, but it didn't go that way, unfortunately.
I need to ask you if you're surprised by this. You know, they shot a fight scene between Picard and Geordi with stunt doubles for this, and they did not.
Really?
They did not use it.
Huh.
I don't think that would have worked whatsoever. I don't know.
I like how it was. It just grabs the thing, just puts it up at the ceiling.
Yeah.
I like that way. That's very simple resolution. Yeah. I like it the way it is.
I would have. I think I might have just had Worf break free and tackle him or something. It felt a little weird that Picard is the one that. And Geordi, you don't need to get right up next to the guy. You can
shoot from across. It's a laser, buddy. You can shoot him everywhere.
Just shoot everybody. I guess he needed to keep some people alive.
That's true. He can't kill everybody. It's the point.
What did What did you think of the reveal that the target of the assassination is not the Klingon ambassador?
Oh, but he's just sitting at his dinner table and having all these human foods and stuff. I was like, I thought it's really really, it was cool. I liked how they did that reveal, and then Geordi just walks in. Yeah, that's a really good shot and really good reveal.
I didn't remember.
I thought it was weird that he was just sitting there snacking.
I didn't remember it. I thought that scene was LaForge is going to walk in and shoot him, and that would be that would be the thing. But I did not remember that they were really more interested in killing the whatever he is. He's the governor or something. They call it the other Klingon. And I thought that was it was done really well. It was a great camera pan, a lot of good direction in this one.
And definitely.
It's a nifty little reveal that because Geordi has spent the entire episode looking at him through the visor, and you keep expecting something to pop up like target locked or something like a Terminator, and it
but you realize that he's just awaiting orders. Actually,
yes,
yeah,
he's waiting for the E-band beeps, I guess, from that guy. So my question for you: what was the E-band doing? Was that making him snap into assassin mode?
I feel like it was something like that. Like it was the trigger for him to go into his trance state or whatever, maybe Manchurian Candidate style. Like you send the E-bands, you're going to receive orders, and then you're going to be follow those orders until you receive orders, just go about your business as usual kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they were controlling him the entire time.
No,
I think he was going about his business for the most part, but didn't have any memory of the brainwashing portions of his time. It's a very mainstream candidate.
I liked him.
Go watch that too. It's a good movie.
It's a good movie. Even the remake. I liked his going about his business, just because I think I gotta give Worf a little bit of a reprimand for his detective work here, where he's like, who could have fiddled with the transporter? And Geordi's like, well, there's four of us who could have done that. And he's like, me, Data, Chief O'Brien, and some other guy that we've never heard of. And so Worf's like, well, where were you all? And Data's like, well, I was working. I was on the bridge. Everyone saw me. O'Brien's like, I was with Keiko. We were walking through the Arboretum. A lot of people saw us. The other guy was in engineering with 30 other people. And they're like, Geordi, where were you? He's like, I was just alone in my apartment. Absolutely no one saw me. Nothing suspicious.
No alibi. Yeah.
And Worf does not seem to think that that's suspicious whatsoever, which is an interesting biased take on his detective work, I think.
Well, he's not the brightest guy.
He's just the muscle in this
thing. Yeah, exactly. He's not the detective. Data's the detective.
No, that is absolutely right. And I do like that.
And
final
also,
scene.
I mean, Data's detective and stronger than Worf. Technically, you don't even need Worf if you really wanted to get into it. Man,
right.
Like, just have Data do Worf's job mostly. And
he can work the multiple shifts. So it just has to like rotate
yeah,
in between things.
Sleep.
Interesting. Yeah. So, I mean, would you anything that particularly you found surprising about this episode, or anything that you were sort of like you were surprised that you didn't remember it that way, or surprised that they went in a certain direction?
I was surprised that watching this again, I forgot this episode existed. Like, I was watching, it's like, oh wow, this is actually one of the best episodes I think of the season, and totally forgot it existed.
Yeah.
So I was like, what is The Mind's Eye about? Oh yeah, that's right.
I, after having watched a couple of these seasons, the later episodes before the last couple are usually the trashy episodes.
Yeah.
I think the host would kind of fall into that. Like, maybe not, they're maybe not bad, but you could tell that it was like a script that they're just like, I don't know anymore. Like, just put it at the end and we'll hope for the best.
They got to fill in the gaps in budget until the ending.
This season. Yeah. Or it's like, you know, they've been working on the script all year and it's just not going anywhere. So they're like, well, whatever, just get rid of it. This one is much better than that, though. It's actually really, I think I like these. This is like my favorite kind of TNG episode. Mm-hmm. It's very standalone, sort of a mystery. It's not really a mystery, but it's like, you know, for the characters, it's a mystery. They're solving a problem. It's got some, you know, like political intrigue. I think this is like, this is my like quintessential. If I was just to sit down and watch an episode, this is like that kind of episode that I would pick.
Yeah. It checks a lot of boxes for sure. Yeah.
Very satisfying on its own level.
Yeah. Nothing feels like a cheap way out of this. Everything feels well earned and, you know, the conclusion is well earned, and even the plan from the Romulans is like a credible idea. They have knowledge of, I like that Geordi's a known quantity to the Romulans, first of all, because they're like, this is the one guy that we can get to pull off this plan, and we need to figure out a way we can get him. And so we're just going to wait for our opportunity. And, you know, so they had been like following around and planning this whole thing for a long time, like that they all of a sudden happened upon him going to Risa.
Yeah.
I like that they had this plan that revolving around this one guy in, you know, the Enterprise that could pull this off and then work backwards to figure out how they can do it.
Yeah.
Because they have knowledge. They have knowledge from prior experiences with Geordi about the visor and that kind of thing. So it all makes sense as far as lore goes and history goes.
And I think the Klingons have a lot of dialogue that is sort of clarifying for what the Romulan purpose is. Like, the Romulans are, as much as we said that they're like the Klingons, they're dislike the Klingons in that they're much more of a tricksy sort of, like, we're going to
tricksy.
They're like, we're going to like set people against each other, as opposed to them. The Klingons would just attack you. The Romulans are more interested in having other people do their dirty work for them, and then they can mop up the remains.
Exactly. Yeah, they realize that they don't have. They have military strength. They don't have, like, as much strength as the Klingons do as far as military goes. So they figure out ways of playing to their strengths, I guess. And that's, you know, they're smart. So they play to that and take advantage.
Something interesting. I don't know if you're a big enough fan, but I'm always surprised that there is no canon map of the galaxy for Star Trek. There's a lot of like fan interpretations about like how the borders look and everything, like who's where and how they actually. I always feel sad that they never made. Well, not sad, but I feel disappointed that there's no official map that the writers would look at and be like, "Oh, it makes sense that this would happen," or like that these people could reach there. But Ron Moore was in an interview, one of the writers, and he had said that his opinion was always that the Romulan Empire was much smaller than the Federation, and the Federation actually circled it.
Oh,
so they were like internally inside the Federation, and the Klingon Empire is much bigger. That was Ron Moore's thing, but I thought that was fascinating, just to have like a little pocket of space that the Federation couldn't get into or whatever.
Yeah, they're Germany, and you know, there's the rest of the allies around them, kind of thing. Yeah,
and I like that. It also makes sense that the neutral zone would be like a finite thing instead of just the neutral zone goes off forever and you can't cross that border.
Yeah, that would make sense totally, because it's like, yeah, where's the edge of neutral space start? If it's encompassing, then you know it radiates out from the center of their, you know, civilization kind of thing. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I just thought it was fascinating. It would make sense why they act the way they do, because they don't have the actual military force to attack things. They have to kind of do these Machiavellian type situations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Romulans get a little bit of flack for being a little underdeveloped, and I don't know if that's true or not to that point. Like, what's your, if you had to rank them, would you say that you'd prefer to have the Klingons or the Romulans, like, kept around?
I think I would prefer the Romulans, personally.
Yeah.
I think that they have a lot of the tendencies and differences from humanity that the Klingons share as well, but they have the added layer of they're equal as far as technology goes. They might be a little more advanced as far as technology goes.
Yep.
And they don't have the honor hang-ups that the Klingons do. You know what I mean?
Right, like,
you have an honorable enemy and you have a dishonorable enemy. Which one are you going to trust more? And you're going to have an enemy that'll do anything. That's the person that's more scary. So,
but it's weird because I don't even consider the Romulans that dishonorable. The Klingons consider them dishonorable, you know.
Yeah,
but I don't.
I don't mean that they're like immoral or anything like that. I just mean like they are willing to go with poisoning. They're willing to go brainwashing. Klingons would never stoop to those kind of tactics. They're going to be more blunt and, you know, hit you over the head, but they're not going to manipulate you as the Romulans, which is scarier generally.
Yes, I totally agree with that. The Romulans would be more insidious, I think, than the Klingons.
Yeah.
The Klingons, you know what you're getting, I guess, which is
They each have their own ideas of honor and, you know, what that means, but like, the Romulans have just a little bit of edge in that regard, in that they seem a little more willing to go from conventional ideas of, you know, fair fighting and that kind of thing, maybe.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, if you were to square the best against the best, I'd rather watch a great Romulan episode than a great Klingon episode, I think.
Yeah.
It's a kind of story that would interest me more than even as good as the, you know, the Klingon Civil War stuff, which is coming up very shortly, which is just a continuation off of the previous war story. But anyway, I think that's good. We covered the mind's eye pretty well. I think I'm going to play an audio clip. Me and Modi are going to come back. We're going to give our final thoughts and a rating for the mind's eye.
Data to LaForge. Report, please. Geordi, please respond. Computer. Current location of Commander LaForge.
Cargo Bay 4.
Data to Lieutenant Worf. Priority 1.
Go ahead.
Take Commander LaForge into custody immediately.
Sir.
That is an order.
Looking for DNA samples by tracing the biochemical signature they give to the terminal to its base.
But how will it be possible to prove which one?
Mr. Worf, get him out of here.
All right, The Mind's Eye. Episode, what is this, 24 of season 4. We're getting to the end.
Getting to the end.
Yeah, season 5 coming. Anyway, so what'd you think of this one on our scale of 1 to 5? What are you going to give this bad boy?
You know, I haven't given many fives out this season. I'm going to do it. 5.
5. Interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't really disagree. I'm going to give it a 4. Just because I think that it's, I don't know why. Like, I think that the sort of, like, the problems that it comes into at the end maybe knock it down slightly, or maybe the fact that it's just, it is a very, it's a well-done but sort of inconsequential episode, if that makes sense.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's like end of the day, Geordi's been messed up beyond all recognition, but he's going to be fine tomorrow kind of
right.
thing. It's like,
yeah.
Okay, well.
It doesn't have the best of both worlds or yesterday's Enterprise implications that
yeah,
things
exactly.
are changing. But I think it's a really well-done standalone episode. And I think you could easily show this to a non-Trek fan. And they'd, mm-hmm. they'd be like, oh, that was like an enjoyable bit of television to watch. Yeah, I'm going to give it a 4. You'll give it a 5. I think that's fair. I don't have any problems with it. It was surprisingly good. I was happy to get this episode. And just gauging on the strength of season 4, this might be a top 5, which is kind of shocking. I don't know if that says more for the episode or if it says less for season 4, in my opinion. but yeah, that's interesting anyway. So, guys, thank you for listening. If you're on YouTube and you enjoy the content, a like and comments, appreciate it. If you're on iTunes, a rating and review helps get the show out there. Modi, thanks very much for coming on.
No problem.
This is probably your last episode of season 4, so we'll see you fresh again in season 5. And season 5 is outstanding, so it should be should be good from here on out, except for season 7, which you'll get to when we get to.
Yep.
We need to meet Geordi's mother and stuff. All right. Well, guys, thanks very much. I'll be back in theory with Clay in a couple days. That is the Data Gets a Girlfriend episode. So, Modi, what were we saying about romance in the host episode?
What were we saying about romance?
In the previous episode, the host.
Oh, I don't remember what we're talking about now.
We were just saying Trek doesn't really do... doesn't do emotional romantic plots.
Oh, that's right. So you got Data with the girlfriend coming up. You know that's going to be good.
It could go one of two ways, right? It could be either terrific or it could be terrible. So join us in a couple days to see what happens. All right. Thanks again, guys. See you.